welcome back. Thanks for joining us for episode 20 of The Source by Hollywood News Source, titled We'll Meet Again. For your host this time, you have me, Daryl, and
myself, Domingos.
Okay, so let's move straight into what have you been consuming in entertainment this week?
Okay, so the first one I'll talk about is I had the pleasure and fortune to see a screening of a for a producer friend of a independent film from South America. Ironically, obviously we talked about foreign films the episode before, so I got to see this film called Song Without a Name. It's basically based in Peru. It's directed and written by a young Peruvian filmmaker by name Melina Leon. She helped produce it as well, along with Andres Roard, Dan Weschler, Michael J. White, a long list of producers of this independent film, which has really done well in the festival circuit. And so basically the story revolves around a young woman named Georgina in the late 80s. I believe the setting of this is 1988. And obviously she's heavily pregnant. She has a newborn daughter in Peru. Mm-hmm. And she obviously gives birth to a clinic. And then obviously what happens is it turns out she wakes up to find that her baby has been stolen. And the clinic that she was in is not as it seemed. It was a fake clinic, and obviously she goes in a desperate search to find what happened to her missing child. And obviously a reporter in the city comes across this story, and he starts investigating, and he takes a deeper look into it, and it just shows how she spirals out of control and so forth. And it's very, and what's powerful about it, because obviously this is based on true events that happened during the 80s in South America, specifically Peru, where there were child trafficking that went on during that period. And yeah, and that was based on this story. So it's shot in black and white, beautiful cinematography, and you just see these sort of the darkness that she goes through herself with her husband, how it affects her family, her not being very wealthy, obviously coming from poverty. So this, how, you know, young women were taking advantage of that time, kids were stolen and so forth. And obviously, yeah, and you just see the reporter whose name is Pedro, played by South American actor Tommy Paranga, and Georgina, the main actress, played by Pamela Mendoza. And obviously he just helps her and goes above and beyond, basically. Fun fact, actually, I got to actually speak to one of the producer himself, and heard from Melissa Leon. So she talks about how it was actually based on, not specifically, but her father was a reporter himself, and he sort of broke these stories during the 80s, and so that inspired her to sort of make this film. And and obviously it was like, it took a few years to make, as obviously these independent films do. But like I said, it's a powerful story, and it's like I said, it puts a spotlight on the thing of child trafficking, which goes on. But like, I don't realise myself, most people don't realise how much prevalent it was in South America, or that part of South America, in Peru. It's a very powerful film. It was out in cinema for a few days before the lockdown, and it launched before the original lockdown in March. But I think it's available to watch on Home Curzon Cinema. So if anybody wants to watch that, yeah, it's a good dark, you know, but educational film.
Sounds good.
Song Without a Name. Yeah. I love how it's shot in black and white. So yeah, so I'd say to everyone, have a look at that. Look at the trailer. It's definitely worth a look. Independent scene.
And okay, so I'll go with one of mine, and I decided to go back in and give another chance to SWAT, which is the remake, remake into a TV series of the 2003 film that stars Samuel Jackson and Colin Farrell, about a SWAT team, which I don't know, you might have guessed. And yeah, so it's just it's just an expansion of that into a, I think it's originally on CBS and it's available here on Amazon Prime. And it stars, probably the biggest name is Shamar Moore, who is someone so I sort of grew up watching, watching it back in the day, or Young the Restless, when I was back in the Caribbean. And then obviously seeing him go on to Criminal Minds, which is probably what he's, it's probably a tie between Young the Restless and thinking what he's most well known for. And also stars Kenny Johnson, who was in loads of things. Let's see who else. Alex Russell, who plays Jim Street, the new guy. And yeah, it just, it starts with, in the first episode, the head of this, of the SWAT team in Los Angeles, is caught in a bad shoot. They're chasing after a criminal and he accidentally shoots this young teenage boy. And he's then fired pretty much immediately. And that brings Shamar Moore's character, who, his name is Daniel Hondo Harrelson, puts him into the leader position, which immediately starts making things uncomfortable because there's his, one of his colleagues, David Deacon, okay, played by Jay Harrington. I think everyone just assumed that if they've currently left, he would be the next one. So there's that instant sort of tension there. And it's just a, it's a procedural, with the interesting twist of showing how SWAT deals a thing day to day. Realistic? Probably not. But a serviceable action show all the same. It's been around for a while. So yeah, so currently in the US, they were airing season 3, and that's, and it's one of the, and it's one of those shows that goes for the full 21-22 episode seasons, and it looks like it's going strong and not good, and seems, I think it's on for a renewal, obviously subject to COVID timelines, but yeah, I don't think it's going anywhere. So yeah, a serviceable procedural.
Cool. Well, yeah, I remember him from Criminal Minds. Yeah, that's where I know him from.
Yeah. Obviously, that's a really great role. It's a and it's a shame that he left under those circumstances, but I do believe he did come back for like the final season after the issue was dealt with.
Okay. Well, all ends well, I guess.
So what?
The next thing I watched myself was on Netflix, was this movie that came out. It was called His House. Try not to spoil it. So it's basically about a refugee couple makes a harrowing escape from Wharton, South Sudan, and obviously they come. They go through the trial tribulations. And they come to the UK seeking a new life, asylum seekers and so forth, refugees, and they're trying to adapt to that. But obviously there was a tragedy that happened to them regarding their daughter, and obviously they're still feeling the after effects of that. But obviously, just as they, you think they're sort of getting through everything, things start to get, take a dark supernatural turn, and guess you, they go to the past, will haunt them until it's dealt with, basically. And yeah, sort of dark and eerie. It's directed by Remy Wilkes, written by Felicity Evans, Toby Venables. It stars Soapy Derusu, Womni Musaku from Lovecraft Country, and Lufa, who obviously seems to be in a bit of a hot streak at the moment with projects. Give really good performances in that. It's dark, and it's very eerie, and it deals obviously with current situation of people obviously still immigration and so forth like that. So it does deal with, obviously it's fiction, but it deals with a lot of fact in it. And there's an appearance from old former resident Doctor Who. Matt Smith makes an appearance in it as well. I was pleasant when I saw that, but I definitely recommend to have a look at that, a UK movie.
Okay, I do believe I remember hearing it talked about on Mark and Simon's one maybe a couple of weeks ago. They mentioned it. So.
Yeah, it was in the top 10 after it came out, Netflix top 10. Then Matrix. How you think of the measuring Matrix, that's up for debate, but you know, it was one of their top viewed. So.
Oh, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay, for my second thing, I will be talking about Reboot, The Guardian Code. So you may remember, a long time ago, there was a show called Reboot, which is one of the first examples of a full CGI cartoon, which is now pretty much the norm. But it was made quite an impression. It was, looking back, it was 1994. So, way back.
Wow.
Lasted for 47 episodes. It was very early CGI based. And it was basically, the description says, in the inner computer world of Mainframe, a guardian program sprite and his friend defend the system from threats from viruses and the user.
I remember this. It went on till early thousands, didn't it?
So the last one, so it looks like the last season was in 2001. Yeah. Wow. Last season was 2001. So yeah, so
before Toy Story as well.
Mm-hmm. So before Reboot, Toy Story. Yeah, Reboot the Guardian Code is a reimagining of that. So it follows the journey of four teenagers, Austin, Parker, Tamara, and Trey, on their first day at Alan Turing High. These unsuspecting teens discover they've been pre-selected to become the next generation of guardians of cyberspace, with a mission to save the world by defending it in cyberspace. So yeah, it's Reboot meets Power Rangers. So it is live action, so it has bit live action and bit CGI stuff. So when they go into the internet to fight against various threats, it's all CGI stuff there. It's a Canadian series. Looks like it premiered in 2018. Seems to be a Canadian collaboration with Netflix. It doesn't seem to be anywhere else. It's two seasons, and I'm just looking at the first season at the moment. It features someone you know, Gabriel Darcou. He's one of the three teenagers. You know him from
October Faction.
Yep, and he also appears in Slasher, which Slasher Solstice, which is a horror, which is a Canadian horror anthology series. In
anthology, I've seen that. That's good.
Quite a few other things. So he's been quite busy lately.
Good for him.
He was also in Impulse, the YouTube premium show. And he appears in American Gods as Young Shadow.
That's a big role for him, American Gods.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it looks pretty fun so far. I don't know, just it just popped up in my recommendations very late. First time I think I'd seen it, so I gave it a go, and it's quite a lot of fun. So I'll probably go back and watch some more episodes. And I would probably recommend it.
Cool, man. Yeah, you can't beat Yeah, TV's always fun when you can get into the characters. Cool, D. Okay. With mine, I went to an oldie but a goodie. I was watching it for a while. So I think it sort of stopped around season 5, so I've been getting back into it again. The Blacklist, with starring, you know, captained by the magnificent actor Mr. James Spader. And I've got back into it. Obviously, it's about, most some of the listeners don't know about it. It's about a story of a high ranked top 10 FBI wanted criminal mastermind, Raider Reddington, who gives himself up about 7 years ago, and he comes for an immunity to not go to prison by giving a list of some of the most elite secret criminals that authorities from around the world have not been able to find or capture. So he sort of helps them to find these characters in exchange for his immunity not going to prison. But obviously, the more you watch it, he's got his own nefarious reasons why he's doing it, for his own advantage. And you see the intricacies he has with the various characters, like his associate Dembe, agents Drexler, Navabi, Keane, played by Megan Boone. You know, Ryan Eggold appears in it. So many different, a lot of great guest stars over the years have appeared in it. But yeah, so I sort of caught up on it, and it's remembered why it's so good. James Spader, he can do comedy, he can do darkness. Basically, he's like the glue that holds everything together, and then everybody else bounces off him. So it's dark, but it can be fun and comedy at the same time. So watching it again was nice, catching that up with it. Remembered why I love that show so much. Okay. You know, I don't know, have you watched it before?
Oh yeah, I'm a big fan of Blacklist. Great show, an amazing vehicle for James Spader to do what he does. I do wonder though. It seems to keep the same sort of plot point all the way through. So I'm wondering if this story started to get a bit stale.
Yeah, what season are you on? Have you even up to it? They're just releasing season 8. I'm just trying to get through season 6 at the moment.
Yeah, I finished season 6. But yeah, it should be coming back soon in the US. I think they've started filming again.
But they're coming. Are they working? Mm-hmm. Because I know it's released on Sky. So season 8 is coming on Sky, I believe, soon.
I don't know. Let's check with the best source. That would be Dave over Geek Town. So let's have a look at his.
I'm not sure.
And he'll quickly Dave. Tell us.
Huh. I was surprised. It's like, wow.
And let me check. And we go with. Holding music. So, Sky One sets April UK premiere date for Blacklist Season 7. And that
is Season 7, okay.
Yeah, Season 7. And what date is that? So, Sky One. It has been revealed. So it premiered back on the 23rd of April on Sky One Now TV. Yep, so that's the latest story. So there's no confirmation of where people will be able to go for season 8.
Oh, okay. They might be probably still working there, possibly. I don't know.
No, I think season 8's already out.
Is it out?
Sure. Let me go and check. The Blacklist.
But the fact is, not an effect-based show where they rely on visual effects constantly. I guess that allows them to.
Oh yeah, no, that's it. Season 7 is the latest. So season 8 is the one that will start later this month.
Wow! So it's going to come soon. Wow.
Yeah. So yeah, it looks like in the US it will premiere on the 30th of November currently.
Wow.
Wait, in fact, that's pretty much, in reality, those are the like last two episodes of season 7, I think, because they got stopped just before they finished up. So those are really the episodes of season 7. Oh, there's some weird sounds coming over from your thing. Could you just...
Sorry, my apologies. Is that better?
Yeah, there seems to be some weird...
My wires are not cooling.
Okay.
Might be my wires. Sorry about that.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, no, I was just saying, I think James Spader is one of the best actors of his generation. He's a tremendous performer.
Absolutely.
He can literally just be like... It must feel like, you know, when you're a young actor, sometimes I watch the young, maybe up and coming performers or that are in that room. It must be like going to film school. Mm-hmm. That good. Like, he's that good. Like, he's been in some classic films as well, man, James Spader. He's just like, he could literally just be in a white room, literally on a chair, and just do a monologue with a stick, and it'd make it look good. He's an amazing character. Amazing character. One of my favorite. If I was doing a top 20 characters of whether of film and television, it would definitely be in the top 20 minimum. Mm. Which is high praise indeed. Mm. His character of Raymond Renderson, but yeah, like I said, it's fun. It's a fun show. Like, and I'm lucky. He's very self-deprecating. With some of the situation he gets himself into, even he knows the ridiculousness of it sometimes, but you know, it's the fun of it. And Harry Lennox as well, who does it, I always like seeing him there.
Yeah,
sort of has a nice fun clash with Mr. Harry Lennox, Matrix, and other shows and films. But yeah, Blacklist, an oldie but a goodie.
Yeah, I'm not that old as it's still here puttering away. And
yeah, okay. I know, it's amazing.
Okay, so for my last thing is I've been playing The Division 2 Warlords of New York, which is the expansion for The Division 2, which sees our agents go back to New York, which is the setting of the first game, to bring down some rogue agents. So The Division 2 basically starts 8 months after a virus has decimated the world, really, but especially in America. I think it's called the Green Plague, and it was released on purpose on Black Friday, and it was laced in money, and it just went through, decimated the population, pretty much caused the collapse of normal society. And the Division, they're called Strategic Homeland Division, and basically they're a set of, I guess you would call them sleeper agents, who are activated when public order breaks down, so they're there to resolve everything. And so you play as one of those activated agents. In the first game, you start out in New York, going around dealing with the various factions that have sprung up in the months since the it's broken, since the virus has taken effect. In Division 2, you start out as an agent in Washington, after that's where they're based. There's an emergency beacon sent out requesting all agents to come back to Washington to assist there. And yeah, so I'm a big fan of Division. I played the first one for ages and ages. I recently got Division 2, probably a lot since the initial hype of the game died down, and I've been playing that. I got to level 30, so the expansion gives you 10 more levels, a different sort of end game, so I went in and played that, and it's just a lot of fun. It's a third-person game.
Third-person. So yeah, third do you have multiple characters, or are you always...
You're always the same person. Basically you go around almost like a sheriff. You're dealing with all these different factions. You're trying to help the survivors. You get a variety of different weapons, and tech you can use. For instance, there's a thing you can have a drone, which will either search out your enemies and shoot them for you, or it can stay by your side and heal you, or it can even like sit just in front of you and deflect incoming bullets. You have this thing called a seeker mine, so you can throw that out and it will roll around and track your enemies. What else are the other ones? Oh yeah, you get various types of shields, so you can just have your own cover when you're moving from place to place. It's a cover-based game, so you spend a lot of time, you know, behind a wall, peeking out, taking a few shots, and then going back into cover. It's a lot of fun, and you can group up into groups of up to four, and just go around. It's how I unwind. It's less stressful. It's a lot of fun.
And that sounds like a very cool gadgets. Sounds like to me.
Yeah, very cool gadgets. That's all we have for stuff we've been consuming this week. So we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk some news. And we're back. So join us as we talk some news. And the first thing I'm going to discuss is a two-parter, and it's about CW shows, which obviously includes the Arrowverse, and when they're set to return. And thanks to TVLine.com for running the story, so we can check it out. And as we all know, the Arrowverse has been pushed back, due to COVID and all the issues around filming, especially in Vancouver. So we can have a look, and as I scroll through, we see that the first show to return is Batwoman, and that returns on Sunday, January 17th. So yep, everything's next year in terms of Arrowverse. In terms of the big CW hitters, on Monday, January 18th, will be All American. Is doing quite well.
Yeah, very true.
And then Wednesday, January the 20th, sees both Riverdale and Nancy Drew return. Obviously, Riverdale with its huge time jump.
How many years of time jump, by the way?
I don't know. But I think it's supposed to be after college. So.
Oh, they've skipped college?
Yeah, I believe so. So right,
not the, really surprised.
I don't hold that for sure because I'm stepped away from that, but I'm looking forward to obviously Nancy Drew coming back for the second season. Hopefully, it will stay strong and keep what made the first season so interesting to watch and such a surprise hit. And on Thursday, January the 21st, sees Walker, which is a Walker Texas Rangers remake. We have a certain supernatural alum.
Mr. Padalecki.
Yep. And Legacies, which is the Vampire Diaries original spin-off set at the Damon Salvatore School. So that will be coming back for...
No, I'm not really a fan of that season, to be honest.
I'm a big fan. And then Sunday, January 24th, sees Charmed return. Then we move on for a while, so there's nothing else for the month. And then February the 8th, which is a Monday, sees the return of Black Lightning.
February, Black Lightning. So that's return. Cool.
And then later that month, on the 23rd, sees the return of The Flash and the premiere of Superman and Lois. Yep, they stuck with that name for its premiere. So that's the major ones. So what do you think about that?
Well, I hope Flash Season 7 is an improvement of Season 6. When it comes to Arrowverse, I'm not going to pull any punches, Daryl. I told you this.
Yeah. And so, and obviously... You know, obviously that both Supergirl and Legends of Tomorrow will be pushed back to later in 2021. Because I know people will be out there thinking, as well as Legends of Tomorrow. So that's Legends of Tomorrow, Stargirl, and Supergirl. So it won't be too long, thankfully, before we can see what. I'm especially looking forward to Batwoman. I want to see how that works. As I said, I'm looking forward to Nancy Drew outside of the Arrowverse stuff. I'm definitely looking forward to the return of Black Lightning. It's a great show. Definitely want to give it some more
terrific
time.
Black Lightning and Stargirl.
If there's nothing else, the second part of this story is the episode counts, which have been revealed. So I'll start with Supergirl, so which would be season 6, and that's looking at going to be, it seems like it's going to be, all right, 13 episodes, which
for Supergirl.
Yeah, that's what that's.
Oh.
That seems to be the reveal. Obviously, this is subject to change, but the fans out there have been grabbing, so that's interesting. So, what do you think about that? It's obviously a reduction, and understandable given that it's the final season. Obviously, the same thing they did with Arrow.
It's a good thing. Can you streamline the story?
Yeah.
You can cut out all the excess fat. Excuse the pun.
Let's one go to Batwoman, and that'll be 18 episodes. So, a bit less than the general 22, 23. Understandable given the constricted time, perhaps. But maybe a sign of things to come. Who knows? We'll have to see how. I guess we won't really get a good understanding of it until maybe 2 years or so from now, when things really settle down. Obviously, Stargirl's coming much later in the next year, and that will be 13 episodes again, as it changes from a DC Universe CW partnership to a strictly CW show. Now the DC Universe is no longer a television channel or such. And what else? And 13 episodes for Superman and Lois. Which I think it makes sense in the first thing. Give it a late season start. The Flash is getting 19 episodes. This is an interesting number. But I think it makes sense. Obviously, with all the COVID restrictions and stuff. I think it would be good. It will allow them to tell a tighter story, because the first few episodes are really the episode that we should have seen last season. So hopefully that means it will tighten up the storylines and keep things interesting. Legends of Tomorrow, it seems, will be 20 episodes, which I think is a little bit more than usual for them, but I'm sure they'll do well with that.
Well, let's hope Barry gets his speed back quickly, then we can move on to something new and original.
We'll see. It shouldn't be. I don't think it should be too long, given that it would make sense for him to have his speed before the end of the season, when it was supposed to be last season.
I never understand that storyline. Still, it's still sort of, I still scratch my head. If this Flash, Barry, is supposed to be in his prime as a crime fighter, why is he still getting a position where he's losing this? And he's a highly intellectual man. He's a criminal forensic scientist. So, where he's, you know, seriously, I think it's a bit lazy writing, to be honest with you.
Well, yeah, I've had a problem with they've effectively dumbed down Barry to make Cisco and Caitlin seem smarter, which I think is the wrong way to go about things.
There's no need to do that. You don't have to pull anyone down. This is Barry Allen. It's kind of pathetic, to be honest with you. Like I said, I love Flash, I love what Grant's done with it and stuff, but like I said, I will not pull any punches with any of them this season. And with Batwoman, I'll give him a chance, but I think Batwoman, I think that's going to be a Marmite situation. people are either going to love it or they're going to hate it. I don't think there's going to be any middle ground with Batwoman. That's my opinion. Maybe. That's how I think.
Well, I think plenty of people already hate Batwoman as they hate the Supergirl. There's a lot of people who would just take time out of their day to come on to a Batwoman or Supergirl post just to say, oh, why is this? Or it's SJW this and various other things.
You know what? I don't pay attention to some people just followers. They've got nothing to do. I'm talking about if you actually watch it. Ironically, Batwoman the first season got better after the crisis. It actually started getting really good. The stuff with Luke Fox storyline was really dark and good. Started to get better. Like I said, it was better than The Flash, and I thought I'd never ever say those words. The Flash was arguably one of the weakest of all the shows, which is unbelievable. I can't believe I never thought I'd say that season.
Well,
There's nothing against the actors. You get what's written, isn't it?
Yep.
And the writing needs to be.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move on. This is a quick story. Tom Holland, Lord of Leaks, purveyor of things you shouldn't say. But this seems to be more likely a sanctioned post. Posted a first look at his suit for the upcoming Spider-Man 3. It still hasn't got a name. Even though it's coming out now, it's supposed to be on December 17th, 2021. So it feels like it should have a name by now. But it's just him wearing a surgical mask over his costume. And it says, wear a mask, I'm wearing too. So just a reminder that...
How many Spider-Men?
That's in Doctor Strange. That's not this. That's not a Spider-Man thing. All the speculation about multiple Spider-Men is a Doctor Strange and the multiverse or whatever. I forget what the name is.
Yeah. I seem to hear more about Spider-Man in Doctor Strange than I hear about Doctor Strange in his own movie, which is kind of weird.
Well, it's because of the idea of bringing back the thing. Well, it's a huge and crazy idea, so I think that's fully understandable. So yeah, only got a little over a year to wait for Spider-Man 3, which is quite impressive and quite a turnaround. So we look for that. And the next story is I wanted to check on Wonder Woman 1984. As I've read this story from screendaily.com, and the headline is All Eyes on Wonder Woman 1984 as Disney pushes Death of the Nile and Free Guy out of 2020. And so what we learned is that Wonder Woman 1984 and News of the World are the only big new theatrical releases left on the 2020 calendar. Wow.
So they're staying then?
Yeah, at the moment. Those are the two ones that are left. So
when is it during? When's Wonder Woman scheduled? In December, isn't it? At the minute, you know what date?
Let me get through and I'll find it on here. So latest post. Yeah. So Wonder Woman is currently set for Christmas Day, so December 25th.
Probably a smart actually to keep that day, I reckon.
Oh, we will see. So obviously I'm hopeful that it does stay. I don't know what sort of position, at least in the UK, will be to actually have it have any cinemas for it to be shown in. But
well, the lockdown ends on December 2nd, isn't it?
So does it really?
Depends on various things.
Yeah, I'd keep an eye on that. And yeah, so, and obviously it mentions Death of the Nile, which is obviously an Agatha Christie, huge star studded event, and that was going to be on the 8th, December 18th, but now, yeah, so now it doesn't have a date, so obviously it'll be sometime New Year.
I love the Agatha Christie mysteries when I was young. Obviously, Peter Ustinov played it and so forth. But I'm just curious. So, this Death of the Nile, is it going to be the same ending as it was in the original film?
I don't.
And the book, or is it going to change it up?
No idea, mate. No idea. Yeah. I don't know, but I assume it's the same ending they did for with the Murder on the Orient Express. Though I haven't seen it. So
it's not a mystery then, is it? If it's the same thing, that if it's the same ending as the original. Not really a mystery. If you're going to know who's done it already.
True.
I was thinking, why not change it up?
I think that will then put off most of the fans of the books. Because the last thing I want to see is some American studio taking an axe to a beloved British author. Yeah, that doesn't sound like it.
Yeah,
would be quite.
I liked it, but I'm like. The point of murder mystery, so I don't know. I'm trying to guess myself, but I kind of know the ending, so
yeah,
it kind of takes away the thrill.
Yeah, but Agatha Christie is based on books, and how many times have they been adapted? So, like, my mother has. I think my mother may have all of her books, so I know most of the. So I know most of the things that will come on, but this doesn't stop them being adapted 6 or 7 times over the years by ITV and various things. It's a lot, especially here. Where you in the UK, where you'd be more expected to know about those stories even before they've been adapted.
Maybe I'm seeing it because of UK perspective, because we've grown up on it with television. Even in school, they talked about it. So, and obviously you had a TV show here, didn't you?
Yeah,
adapted so many ones that. But is there a book where you actually see the origin of Hercule Poirot, his actual origin, but maybe become who he is?
I'm not sure there is. I'd have to ask my mother and get back to you, because I'm sure she'd know.
Oh, that'd be an interesting one, wouldn't it?
But I think
how he became
origins is a much late 20th century idea. I think back then there's definitely an idea of you have your protagonist, and they do their thing. They don't exactly explain why they do their thing. They just get it done. Okay. So, if you had any cinema plans, I guess unfortunately postpone them until we hear more.
Oh, have you got any news on Black Adam? By the way, I'm curious.
No, that's way too far out for any sort of news to share. And last story I just thought this was interesting. As we are hip happening people, often watch streaming services. So Netflix picks France to test its first linear offering. This is a story coming from Variety.com. So Netflix is going to have their first channel.
You mean channel?
Pardon me. This channel is named Direct. It's a linear channel, which will only be available to subscribers, will air French, international, and US feature films, and TV series that's available on the streaming services. However, the channel will only be accessible via the service's web browser, unlike its streaming service. So, and he just goes on to say this would be Netflix's first foray into real-time scheduled programming.
Wow.
So,
watch out, networks.
And so as it says on its website, Netflix said it chose France to test its linear channel due to the consumption of traditional TV in France. In France, watching traditional TV remains hugely popular with people who just want a lean-back experience where they don't have to choose shows, said Netflix. We're trying a new feature for our members in France called Direct. Maybe you're not in the mood to decide, or you're new and finding your way around, or you just want to be surprised by something new and different, said Netflix.
That's very innovative, isn't it?
And for French listeners, if there are any, the test channel had a soft launch on November the 5th and will be more broadly available in France early December, said Netflix.
Smart idea to adapt for different sort of regions and cultures,
and,
you know?
Yeah, and it says that Netflix is believed to have around 9 million subscribers in France. So the SVOD, yeah. Oh, 9 million subscribers.
Wow. That's more. Is that more than Peacock?
Well, Peacock is available outside the US, so I would suspect that Peacock probably has more subscribers. Especially its opening, I would suspect it's probably available on quite a few like mobile deals and stuff. So it has like they had that initial buy-in, which was how I would do it at least. So yeah, I think it's an interesting thing to see that even Netflix are taking a look at the way they do things and wondering if they can offer other options. Obviously, as it says in this thing, it's a time, you know, during lockdown when Netflix subscriptions have gone through the roof. So,
of course, the only it did not affect them at all in a negative way, obviously. Well, like I said, everyone's having to evolve. Various networks, like we said, we had this conversation quite a few times, Daryl, about how networks, they're putting their hand in the sand. But like I said, by the time they get their hand out of the sand, it's going to be a bit too little too late. They don't hurry up and evolve. Still going by the old fashioned matrix of people, audience numbers. This is 2020. Got to move on and adapt for that.
Yeah. Embrace social engagement, for instance. Definitely helps.
Yeah. The days where you'll never ever get, you know, when you had a Gotham being made by Fox or a Disney show being made by, I don't know, NBC, that's really going to happen now. Rare. Everyone's doing all the production going in house now.
To a certain point. But I think there's still bits for people like. They're still like ABC, for instance, will still buy stuff. And I think they'll all still buy stuff. I think they'll buy less. They'll buy much less stuff from outside than they used to.
We'll have
to see how that works out for the viewer.
Yeah. There's a film I'm looking forward to seeing, The Jungle Cruise, with Emily Blunt and The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, when that eventually comes out. It looks quite fun. Featuring Jack Whitehall.
2021.
Yeah. Is that coming out next year now, yeah?
It says 22nd July 2021. So, Doctor Who, let's search for. Is this. Oh, it's based on the theme park attraction. Okay. Yep, so it seems to say 2021.
It seems like it's. Also inspired by the film with Humphrey Bogart and Audrey was it Catherine Hepburn, I believe? What's that film?
Yes.
On a boat.
Mm-hmm. I know which one you mean.
Yeah.
Yes, that's interesting.
So I guess all I want to say is thank everybody that's listened in 2020 to episode 20 this year. Much appreciated on behalf of H&S, myself, and Daryl and everybody. Thank you.
We'd just like to take the time to make an announcement that this will be for now the last episode of The Source by Hollywood News Source. We've made some big changes to the site, as I'm sure you've noticed, and we're taking the website in a new direction. So what will happen is that this will be our last episode for now, and we'll have to see if we will be bringing it back in a new form in 2021. So we'll have all of our links in the description, so you can go to the description of the podcast, so you can follow us to see what other projects you'll be moving on to, and to keep in touch with Hollywood News Source itself to see if they what they'll do podcast wise. Well, obviously we'll keep on covering all the live events and things that will be going on in the future. We hope you'll be there with us. But yes, just to say, at least for the source, for now it will be goodbye from us.
So yeah, so enjoy episode 20 of 2020. Goodbye, folks.
Bye.